Thank you all for having me here, and thanks a million to Dan and the rest of Geelong Sustainability for putting together such a fantastic event. It really is an honour to be here and to be part of such an active community who are looking to step up on this issue and own it, both the challenges and the solutions. So thanks again for having me. I have been working on climate change for much of the last 10 years and seen the highs and lows of this debate. But it's an issue that I've cared about in various ways for much longer. I grew up in Albury, up on the banks of the mighty Murray River, and it was water issues that were actually much closer to my heart, having grown up there and spent a lot of time further up the Murray, at the start of the Murray at Wolwa, a man from Snowy River country. And so I sort of moved to Melbourne, went to university and was thinking, I'm going to do something to help our environment. That or international development. Two things very, very passionate to me and, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and wanting to make a difference in the world. And happened to get work in international development. And I was based out of Oxford, working with a mini version of an Oxfam. And we were doing really fantastic small-scale agricultural programs in Zimbabwe and Kenya, helping women and small communities set themselves up for the long term. And I was reading a lot more about the impacts of climate change on those communities that we were working with. And I sort of had an epiphany moment of going, wow, this is a basket case. And if I care about the long-term viability of these communities, I've got to be working on climate change. That's the systemic driver that's going to wipe out what I'm doing here and blow this out of the water. And so I came back to Australia with a very single focused mission to be doing what I could, knowing I was from one of the most polluting countries per person on Earth, that I had the education and the skills to actually make a difference and the opportunity to step up and do that. And I've been thrilled to be a part of the Australian climate movement ever since. As David pointed out, it's a bad scenario. We know what this looks like. The science is clear. But as David also pointed out, we know what to do about it. We have all of the technologies available to solve this problem if we want to. And I know Adam will be speaking about that shortly. What we have is not a technological crisis at all. Those technologies are available, they are ready to go. This is not a financial issue. We have plenty of financial capital available, private and public, to solve this problem if we want to. What we have is a political crisis, because we do not have the strength of political will across all of our levels of government to solve this crisis at the moment. But what we do have is community power. And what we do have is community will. And we hear constantly in the media, which is far more influential than many of us would like to imagine, about this raging debate in our communities on climate change. But the fact of the matter is that that's not true. That raging debate is amongst a very small minority. It's about 8% of the population who do not believe in climate change. The vast majority are deeply concerned about climate change. In the latest Lowy poll, 67% of Australians said the government should take much stronger action on climate change, even if it included significant cost to them. So that's not just recognising there's a problem, that's recognising there's a need for action, calling on the government for action and recognising it will cost, the community is ready. But the community thinks that the rest of the community doesn't care. The majority of people who care about climate change think that 50% of our population don't care about climate change. And so collectively, we are letting our governments off the hook. We are saying to ourselves, I guess it's kind of okay that my politician isn't doing enough, that our Prime Minister isn't quite doing enough, because, you know, all these people aren't concerned about climate change, so it's a tough pickle that they're in. It's simply not true. We don't talk about it in our communities because we're afraid to raise this at a barbecue, because goodness knows what Uncle Larry's going to say. Uncle Larry, unless he's part of the 8%, and yes, many of us have an uncle who is part of the 8%, Uncle Larry is concerned about climate change. We are concerned about it in different ways. We have different touch points. We have different issues that make us think about this issue. But it is something that affects all of us. And as a community, we have to find ways to have this conversation amongst us. And I should say, that's not just... I don't mean to say that's throwing that back at you, because at the Australian Conservation Foundation, for 50 years, we've been a voice of the Australian environment, of the Australian community for our environment, I should say. And we recognise we have an enormous responsibility to be empowering our communities and enabling these conversations to take place and this shift to happen. And we've seen that that has been one of the biggest challenges that we've faced, and in some ways one of the biggest failings that we've had in this debate over the last 10 years. We got a policy on climate change. It wasn't great, it wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good. We had that through. It was actually cutting pollution. It was closing some of our dirtiest coal-fired power stations. It was building clean, renewable energy and supporting energy efficiency. And we lost it. Because while we might have had the policy settings right, we did not have the community settings right. We had communities that cared, but not communities that were active and organised. So collectively, many of the organisations who are active in this space have been working together over the last 18 months to say, what do we need to do to win on climate change? And that might seem like a pretty fundamental question to be asking ourselves, but you'd be surprised. That's not asking, what do we need to do to get that policy? It's not asking, what do we need to do for this next term of government? It's actually stepping back and saying, what does it look like to win, and what gets us there? Collectively, we came up with a number of different strategies that we'll be rolling out in coming years. But there's two in particular I wanted to just highlight for you today. Collaboration and organising. Again, these seem obvious, and I'm sure there's many of you who think that's what we always do. But actually, genuine, real collaboration is not just saying, yeah, let's work together, let's hold an event. It's about saying, what do you need and what do I need? What are your concerns and your issues? What are ours? And how do we work together to actually create a shared and better future for us all? And collectively, we are now doing that work in a genuine way that I honestly have not seen before in the last 10 years, with the union movement, with faith networks, with the youth movement, with the Indigenous movement, with the health sector in particular is also very active in this space. And it's a very exciting time to recognise that leadership and communities from all these different aspects are actually coming together and having these sophisticated conversations and planning action together and planning strategies in a way that we haven't done before. That gives me great hope. But the other side is organising. And I'm sure that many of you feel you are organised. You're here. This is actually pretty good organising. Great effort, Dan. But what we've found is actually most of us are mobilised. Most of us mobilise and we demonstrate our power. We sign a petition, we attend a rally, we go to an event, we demonstrate this is what we want. But organising is at the other end of that. It's building the power. It's recognising right now we don't have enough of it. Right now, decision makers are listening to those vested interests. There is a clear choice decision makers have to make. Are they listening to a handful of big polluting energy companies, or are they listening to the millions of people right across their communities who vote for them, who want action on this? At the moment, they're listening to money and to power. With those millions of people, we need to build that power. And that's what organising is about, actually bringing people together to take action together, to unite, to have conversations, and to collectively make plans and build that from their own communities. And that's very much the future of where we're going. I'm thrilled that Geelong Sustainability Group is a group that's a part of this, that sees themselves as a part of that future of engaging with their community. And one particular next step that we have that is key in this pathway is actually next Friday night in Melbourne will be the first of a series of global climate marches. At the start of the International Paris Climate Negotiations, people will be coming together in capital cities right across the globe. Over 40 cities have signed up to be a part. Where millions of people will be coming together, not just to demand stronger action of their governments, but to say, yes, we will hold you to account. But here today, we are declaring that we are getting on with this job of a transformation, whether you like it or not, so get on board. We will create this transformation together. And what is different about this, I'm sure many of you have been to climate rallies before and walked along and possibly had a really positive experience and waved a placard and been a part of a chant. This rally is not just about Friday. It's about the 6 months of genuine organising and of genuine collaboration that's happened before, and about the years of collaboration and organising that we are planning for coming out the other side. Next Friday is the physical manifestation of that work, where we show this is who we are, this is who we stand for, and this is how we will work together across our sectoral divides, across our differences. We will find those threads of light that unite us all, and we will commit to doing that work in future. I can't tell you what that work in future looks like. We're yet to create it. But I can tell you that over the last 6 months, I've been working with over 300 partner organisations right across all of those sectors I mentioned before, with genuine leadership coming up and organisation happening within all of those sectors. It's an incredibly exciting time. I would ask you to come along and join us next Friday night. I know that there is a contingent coming along from Geelong, and I hope that you'll be there with bells and whistles and we will see you loud and proud as a part of a broader Victorian community. And I hope that when you're there, you'll be looking at the people alongside you on either side and saying, this is a community I'm committed to being a part of. This is the change I'm committed to making. And together that we will build that community political power that we know is needed to shift the dynamics and to shift the change we want to see in the world. To that end, I'm going to give one last plug before we leave, picking up on Councillor Richard's excellent social media suggestion, and ask that anybody who is coming along, and potentially the councillor would even be interested in doing so himself, post a picture of themselves today onto social media with the hashtag, as appropriate, to let people know that they'll be attending by writing I'm in on their hand. We've been asking people across Australia to do this. Just today, a number of famous people have started to put this up to show the breadth and reach of this movement. And we really hope that you'll all be a part of it, and we'll see you there next Friday. Thank you.